All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now we are going to continue on the subject, set free to stay free. I'd like to review what we said yesterday, slightly. Yesterday we established the fact that Jesus is the final sacrifice. In fact, I think there's a compilation of DVDs. Israel, do you have that? Christ Thinks. Yes. Let me just really recommend it. You know, our DVD compilation. Now, not videos. We use DVD just because it can take more messages, all right? Like I said yesterday at the announcement, that the one we have, two of them, on prayer, has 122 messages, okay? So that's just to make it easy to share, okay? That is one we have, it's on Christ. All the top series I taught on Christ matters, we put it together into one DVD, and it has about 44 messages. Please, I want to encourage you to get the DVD. And then again, if you want to recommend to somebody, they are all, almost all. Image of Christ is not on the website. Almost all of them are available on our website. You can just go down to the website, pastor.ng. I believe that believers need to know that subject of Christ very well. You know, Christ is not just a person. I mean, Jesus is our Christ, amen? But the word Christ is not just his person. There's something that he represents. Christ is God's deliverance. Christ is a realm of existence. Are you getting my point here? You know, many of the things that Christians learn, I need to start with that. Many of the things that Christians learn, they are not, that these principles that we pastors sometimes teach, they are not principles that are totally wrong in themselves. It's just that they are wrongly applied. Let me explain what I'm trying to say here. For example, 2 plus 2 is equal to what? 4, all right? Let's do another one. 5 plus 5 is equal to what? 10. Okay, another one. 6 plus 6 is equal to what? Okay, let's continue. 3 times 3 is equal to what? Now, there's something you didn't bear in mind all of this. You didn't ask me, base what? Those who know mathematics, they know that all this one is base what? Base 10. 2 plus 2 is equal to 4 because it is base 10. Well, if it's base, something else can still be. But 5 plus 5 is equal to 10 because it's base 10. 6 plus times 6 is 36. Because all of this is base 10. That is, what base 10 means is that when you get to 9, you can't add another figure. You have to increase the number of digits. So if I say all of those things, it's in itself is not wrong. But if somebody now comes and says 1 plus 1 is equal to 10, which is 10 normally. Instantly, you know he's doing binary base 2. If he tells you 1 plus 1, he won't tell you 2 because there's no 2 in the base he's using. He has to say it's 10. It's called binary. It's base 2. What does that tell us? When you are adding things in life, you have to know the bases you are using. And that's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes when people tell you, please, sorry to go back to this. If somebody said that, look, when you want to get from God, you give first. In itself, it's not wrong, but it's inferior to the doctrine of Christ. So if you are operating outside Christ, please preach that. If you go into Christ, don't say that. In Christ, if you want to get from God, you ask the Father in his name. That's what he said. And when you get to God's presence, you are careful. Never, ever. Please follow me. In fact, I've gotten to my message for today. You are careful never ever to mention a good work you have ever done. In Christ, that's what I'm going to emphasize. Christ is not just the person Jesus. The person Jesus was the Lamb of God that God used to enact a covenant that brought Christ into existence. What I mean is this, into reality for the believer. Christ is the realm of existence that things work by different law. Let me give you an example. If you sow something, you reap it. Amen? In Christ, you reap things you did not sow. Can you see what I'm saying? Now, but for God to be able to do that, he has to have, let me use the expression, an excuse. So what is that excuse? He will say the person who sowed it for them. And that person is called Christ, Jesus. So you see, the laws are different now. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. The laws are different. Have you ever heard this expression before? It sounds very true, but we limit the power of God. They say that, look, God can forgive you, but the consequences remain. Have you heard that thing before? Don't believe it. It's not true. When you believe it, you don't let God heal people totally. Forgiveness in Christ means that you can wipe out consequences. In fact, when God forgives in Christ, it makes it look like the sin was necessary. Did you hear what I said? Let's use David as an example. You see forgiveness. David sinned. Do you understand? It was wrong what he did. And God punished him specially. Not for the sin per se, because you will see, in the sin, when he repented, God said, I have forgiven you. He said, but I want to make a statement about your life. So every judgment that came because of that was to make a statement. Afterwards, who gave birth to Solomon? Bathsheba. Who was the heir to the throne? Solomon. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Who was the greatest king Israel, the wisest king Israel ever had? Solomon. Who was the richest king Israel ever had? Solomon. Now it will now look as if, thank God that he married Bathsheba. The truth is that we can't say thank God he married Bathsheba. But the truth is that we thank God he married Bathsheba. But it's not right to kill somebody and take his wife. It's called adultery, it's called murder. He lied. He bore false witness. He did all kinds of things. But this is the issue. You see God bringing out something good from what was originally bad. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. That is what is called forgiveness. That's what I'm going to bring out. That is called forgiveness. It is not as if you now say, ha, I found out a way to get Solomon. You kill somebody and collect his wife. God will hang you fast. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's called taking the grace of God in vain. It's called mocking the Lord thy God. You don't go into sin deliberately because you found out that God has a special package for forgiveness. That one, when you get to the other end, you will see the special package that he has ready. This time around, it's called mocking God. You are not allowed to mock God. But I'll use that one to illustrate the fact that God actually forgives in such a manner that you start wondering that, hey, thank God I did what was wrong. But it's not as if you did what was wrong that God is blessing. He's showing you the power of his forgiveness. But for him to forgive like that, believe me, it's not a small thing. It's not cheap. You have to offer a sacrifice that's so powerful that no human being can offer it. Only Jesus could do it. So Jesus did it on your behalf. It's not cheap. It may be free, but it is not cheap. But what we are just preaching is that Jesus already paid. That's what we are preaching. I'm explaining the meaning of the word Christ again. So Christ is so important. Please get this series. I don't have all the time to teach it now. Christ is not just, like I said yesterday, a religion. That's why, assuming it was possible to get to God another way apart from Jesus, assuming it was possible, wherever you get to in God is still called Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because that is the ultimate that God had planned for mankind. I said yesterday, whether Adam sinned or not, mankind still had to step into a realm that Adam was not in. The way in the garden to step into that realm was eating of the tree of life. But there was a procedure, there was a process that would qualify them to eat of the tree of life. But what I want to emphasize is that even if Adam did not sin, he still had to walk with God until he would be able to take of the tree of life. And what the tree of life gives to people is to allow you enter into a realm called Christ. What am I trying to explain now? So you see, be careful. Some of the principles people teach all the time, they sound so nice and so good, but the fact is that they are not the principles of Christ. I'll give another example of the principle of Christ. We know clearly that if you eat food, you get strength. If you eat correct vitamins and a balanced diet, you get health. If you jog regularly, you get a bit of health. Are you getting my point? Add all of these things together, you get something good. But this is what Christ is. Christ said, this man doesn't have balanced diet. God said, this one, he doesn't even know anything about vitamin. So what do? We just give manna, which is the word of God. And it says, man does not live by bread alone. That is, anything balanced diet, vitamins, exercise, medical checkup can give, if somebody taps the word and drinks it, he gets the same thing. That's the power of Christ. So he breaks every law, but he's healthy. You get what I'm saying here? Listen, I told you yesterday that when I did my study, I realized that the quest of the heart of everybody, every religion, has always been to get to a particular point. When we're, have you heard this expression before, the living perfect master? You've not heard that expression before. When I was in secondary school, when we were introduced to some of these mystic writings, the aim was to become a living perfect master. Then one day I heard the Ekanka people talk about the Mahanta, the union of God and man. Everybody is trying to attain that. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That thing that everybody is trying to attain. Everybody, listen, whether you know it or not, you know, I talk about Buddha. What impressed me about him was that I saw that this man too, the story about him was that he was looking for the same thing. He looked at life and said, this life doesn't make any meaning. This is not fair. So he began to meditate. And the way they understood that time was to sit down and meditate until you enter into what they call Nirvana, a place of peace. So, I read a bit of his story. He tried all kinds of things. He said he fasted. You know, when I see Christians trying to fast now, it makes me laugh. You know, it makes me laugh. All this going hungry because you want God to hear you is a waste of your time and his own. If God is not going to hear you because you have eaten, he won't hear you because you are hungry. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Better go and learn the proper procedure, how God hears people. Why am I talking about it? I have read stories of men who fasted. That Buddha man said he fasted until he couldn't stand up. Until the bone on his back, everyone was visible. He was a Hindu. One day, my wife and I sat down at home and we're watching stories, on, I think, Discovery Channel. On Hinduism. And when I saw what Hindus were doing to attain a spiritual state, I told my wife, see, you see what Christ has delivered you and me from. A man kept up his hand for, is it 12 years? Do you understand? You put your hand up like this for 12 years. One did not sit for 12 years. He didn't sit or lie down for 12 years. He said, how was this doing? He was standing. He stood for 12 years. He's either standing or walking around. He said, how does he sleep? There's one hanging pillow that he will rest on like this and sleep. I don't need to tell you that his feet, they were so swollen, the blisters ruptured, became sores, but he still did not sit down. What was he trying to do? He was trying to attain a state of spirituality. But Jesus came and gave it to us free of charge. And said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. But Christians think they must add to that name. Whatever you ask the Father when you are hungry, in his name. Whatever you ask the Father after you have given, in his name. Whatever you have asked, they complicate the name of Jesus. The problem with it is that when people now come to God, their prayers are not as effective as they should be. Why? They have a claim that God does not listen to. Yesterday, I talked about the fact that you have to be careful that you offer the right sacrifices. Let me warn again. Anytime you go to pray, please, your first purging, because you're a Nigerian Christian, that is why. If you were not a Nigerian Christian, maybe it would be different. But I know the kind of things you have heard. Me too, I've heard them. The first purging most Christians need to do when they want to pray is to check their heart to see whether they have any claim to the answer apart from the name of Jesus. Sometimes, maybe you just preach to 10 people. just give 6 months' income as an offering. And that day, emergency comes and you want to pray. The natural human thing is, after what I've done for God. The natural human thing is that, my seed will speak for me. The natural human thing is that, God knows now. Now we. Please, once it comes to your mind, take the first 5-10 minutes and confess it out. And say, Lord, you know, because of what I had learned before, as I was about to start praying, my heart began to secretly reach out to say, you will hear me because I've been good. You will hear me because I have fasted. You will hear me because I have given. You will hear me because I have preached. You will hear me say, Lord, it's me, my heart. So I want to tell you right now, I am sorry. It is stupidity. I confess it as foolishness. If it comes up, please wipe it off. Lord, I am sorry. You need to say it. When you have said that, you now say, Lord, here. Now, the basis upon my coming is Christ. I am coming because Jesus reconciled me to you. I am coming because the power of his blood has washed me clean. I am coming because the Lord Jesus said, you love me. I am coming because I know that he was telling the truth when he said it, and I know you love me. I know that I have been made righteous by faith in Christ. Righteousness means that God loves you and accepts your prayers. That's the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness means that God accepts your offerings. He accepts your prayers. He has a relationship with you. So say, Lord, I know I have attained that righteousness, but not because of my works, but because of what Jesus has done. Lord, that is the basis of my prayer. In Kingdom World Ministries, when we want to start prayer, we have a chant like that about it. Let me see whether I can, because I don't have that one very well, you know, in my heart. Let me just see whether I can quickly reach it here and read it out to us. But what it says essentially is that I have not come in the power of the good works I have done. We recite it. But I have come only, this is how we say it. I enter into the presence of the Father as a renewed child of God. I have been made righteous by the power of the blood of Jesus, and I give him the praise for it. I haven't come in the power of the good works I have done. I have come only because of the grace and mercy which I have through Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for loving me. I thank the Lord for washing me clean. I thank the Lord for making me worthy to stand before him. I have come in the company of my brethren who are also washed, who are also clean. We are a company of children of God who are declared righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we started. If you want to have all these declarations, it's on our website. Just go to the sermons or track section. You'll see declarations, KWM. The website address is very easy to remember, pastor.ng. All right? Very easy. Not pastor.com, not pastor.org, but pastor.ng. All right? Nothing else there. Okay? You can get a declaration there. But what's this declaration about? To say that we are coming to prayer in the name of Jesus, we have no other claim apart from that name. When Jesus said, ask in my name, that was what he meant. But what has happened in Christianity? We are offering up strange offerings, sacrifices with it. He said, now, we are going to pray. So what do we do? Let us fast so he can hear. Then when people come, they are hungry, they are trembling, and they think he will hear because of that. They say, we pray in the name of Jesus, but actually, the heart is saying, Lord, this hunger is because of you. Were it not for you, a man for don't chop. So you reward it. And like I always say jokingly, God says, okay, go and call police. I'm not going to answer. Listen, don't ever go to God to request anything on any other premise apart from the fact that you are in Christ. Normally, when I talk like this, one of the things that comes to the heart of Christians is, are you saying Christians should not fast? Please hear me correctly. I didn't say so. But I'm saying it does not make your prayers answerable. It does not improve the efficiency of your prayers. You now say, okay, what is it supposed to do? Well, you the fast now. Decide. My job is to teach you how prayers get answered. Okay, but let me answer that one. Christians take time aside to seek the face of God. Do you understand the difference now? To seek God's face means that things are not working well the way they are supposed to be working for me. What is the problem? You know, we think that all we just do in prayer, just go and say, God, do this, do this, do this. Sometimes God says, let me talk to you. You are not using the proper procedure. But in the multitude of activities, you can't sense what the Spirit is saying. That's what the issue is. That's why I tell Christians that if you say you are fasting, you shouldn't be running up and down doing your business. If you are going about doing business, please eat something. Otherwise, when you die for yourself, not for God. Yeah, that's not a joke. I was trained as a pathologist. I have personally conducted an autopsy on a pastor that finished fasting and died. Not joking about that. He went on a very serious fast. As soon as he broke the fast, his stomach burst and he died. Not a story somebody told me. It was my duty to determine his cause of death. Don't think you can impress God with your hard work. No, forget that thing. You can't. What is a man supposed to do? Like I said, and this, I'm not joking about it. I've passed the time of trying to be nice. Now I say what I want to say. If you don't like it, leave it. The truth is this. Many times we're having problems in life. The problems are not a result of the devil. Forget this devil guy. You know, the devil fears you more than you realize. How many people have watched this film, Monsters Incorporated? Please, I recommend it. I think every Christian should watch Monsters Incorporated. Why? Because you will see, in quotes, demons, evil spirits. They come to the human world to scare human beings, hoping that when they shout, okay, of course, hoping that they will shout, and when the children especially, scream, they package the scream to power their world. That is their own renewable energy. That is their own natural gas. Getting my point? Now, why I like the story is that, go and watch that film. What the children don't know is that the monsters are more afraid of them than they are afraid of the children. Or than the children are afraid of the monster. So that when you come, when the monster shouts, yeah, he shows his face. Actually, he's hoping you won't get close. What he just wants, let me scare this child. The child will scream. The truth is that when the child goes near the monster, this monster runs away. See, this child wants to kill me. Why do I like the film? Because of that. The devil is afraid of children of God. The Bible says he's roaring, seeking whom he may devour. That is, he roars, they get scared. And the truth is this, listen. He has only few powers. There's a last power he has, which is terrible, but it doesn't work against anybody unless God issues it to him. What the devil only does is to tempt people, to deceive them. And if they fall for any of these two, he now accuses them before the Father. It's only when his accusation is successful that he gets the power of death over the person. So you don't worry your head about the devil. What you worry, in quote, about the devil is you make sure you resist him, steadfast in your faith. That resist is not, Satan, you won't take my money. Tell him. No, oh God. Christians, you must know the right prayers to pray. Satan, you won't take my money is not a prayer. If it's a better prayer to say, Satan, is it money? Take it. You think I'm going to start crying because of money? Take it. That's a more powerful prayer. It's not money. Carry. When you take it, I will dance a whole night. And I will worship God. That is when he won't take it. When you start saying, he won't take my money, he takes it faster like that. Yeah, why? Because God realizes that, this boy is still worried about his money. So let's allow temptation. But when you just put your hand in your pocket, Satan wants to collect money. Collect now. Do I look like I will cry over it? Is it not material things? I'm a child of God. I understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. When you talk like that, that is when Satan is resisted. Not when you stand up and say, I resist you. I resist you. Satan says, do you know where I'm even going? Are you getting my point? The problem a lot of times is that people are resisting Satan. They don't even know the direction he's going. If you understood that all Satan, all right, is looking for is your faith, you will resist him differently. Job was a master resistor, if I may use that expression. Satan collected everything. Job said, even if I die in this process, I still will not deny him. I will still continue trusting him. That was how Satan lost entirely in the life of Job. You know, if it's most Christians, Satan will win. Why? Because they say, God, after everything we have done for you, you let this happen? And you say you're a faithful God? Is it what you call faithfulness? Satan will say, I told you, he's serving you for what he's getting. You know, see, so? Like I said jokingly, many times when Satan comes and God says, have you considered myself? I said, yes. You know, I was thinking that God will say, don't go near that area. He's only serving you for what he's getting. God said, me too, I know. Why are you bringing it up? He said, put forth your hand to it now. He will deny you. God said, I am aware. Why do you think I haven't touched it? So God said, okay, wait. Let me build him up first. Come back for temptation in 15 years. Then send the Christian to a good church. And they'll be building him up. I'm just saying that, look, let's not worry about this devil so much. Let's know exactly what he's looking for. What Satan is looking for is your faith. He wants to undermine your faith. He wants to ensure that you are not what exactly you say you are. He wants to say that, listen, no, these Christians are fake. That's what he's looking for. That's why God allows temptations. James said, when you fall into temptations, rejoice. What are we doing? We're just proving your faith that is genuine. That's what James said. So back to what I was saying. So what do Christians, therefore, go out to fast and pray about when they take time aside? Is to get it clear. Things are not working the way they are supposed to be working. What is the reason? What is the reason? Many of us, it's only when we pray like that, God will say, the procedure is wrong. There's a proper procedure for everything. It's the time you wake up, the time you take aside that God will be able to tell you that, listen, this idea of waking up at 4 a.m. and coming back to bed at 11:30 is breaking a scripture. You're only prospering by your energy. I'm not able to add any blessing to it. For God to add his blessing to your life, you must give him space. You must give him space to work. How it works out in your life, you work it out. But the truth is that you must give God space to work. Many people are succeeding with using their own, let me use the word like this, using their own blood. They are burning their own energy. And you have so much energy, and God gave you that energy for only one thing, to use to seek his face. See, this energy I've given you, used to seek my face. Then I will give grace to you with which you will succeed in life. Many of the things, like I said before, that they are writing in books these days, they are lies. Many of the principles of success I read, I say, if I do this, God will have to personally punish me. Many of the principles of success. What some people call diligence, God calls it anxiety. I remember I read the book, How to Be Rich, by Paul Getty, who was the world's richest man in his own days. And I like reading stories so that, because I'd like to know what's going on. He got to a point, I started laughing. I said, this man, you don't know anything. He said, how do you become rich? He said, get up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. He was an oil magnet. And I said, this is very foolish. Because you read through the book, he will tell you, striking of oil in their time was a game of chance. Okay, you get up early, go to bed late. How do you know you will strike oil? Many people invested their monies drilling areas, and they turned out with what they call dry holes. And by the time you do too many dry runs, you are bankrupt. So when he said, get up early, go to bed late, and strike oil, I said, listen, sir, this is not true. You didn't even experience it like this. I said, but listen, the Bible says clearly, it is vain to rise early and go to bed late. He said, if anything you get is eating the bread of sorrows. Why? He said, God, there are things he packages for his beloved, which only comes to them while they sleep. So sometimes a Christian needs to set aside and say, in fact, periodically, every year, every Christian must take time out and review life over the last, depending, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, whichever time you choose to do it. And what are you reviewing? Listen, you're not checking your financial state to see how well you have done financially. There are other things you check first as a believer. In fact, one of the things I want to talk about today, I'll get to it in a moment. Maybe this is a good time to connect with it. One of the things a Christian must check is, between last year and now, it sounds funny, but this is the basic truth of life. How more patient am I than before? You must ask that question. How more forgiving am I than before? How more restful am I than before? I went to preach in a church in Lagos. At the end of the day, one woman came to talk to me afterwards. That's why I'm talking about it. Now listen to this, very important. She said, in our family, I am the only one that's not on antihypertensives. I mean, she's a grown woman, you know, maybe in her around 50 years of age. All my elder ones, all my younger ones are on antihypertensives. She said, I am the only one that does not take antihypertensive medication. I said, good, how do you do it? She said, simple. That if they ever check my blood pressure and they say it's high, I go back home and start praying and thinking, Lord, what have I been doing wrongly? What am I worried about? He said, I just start sleeping some more and I wipe away every worry from my heart. He said, my blood pressure always comes down. My mother was hypertensive, she said. My father, hypertensive. My elder ones, hypertensive. My younger ones, hypertensive. Everybody on antihypertensive drugs. He said, I am the only person. And how do I handle it? It is simple. I take my matters to God in prayer and I rest my soul. These are people that have burdens. One man there that was speaking with me, in fact, he said his son said he has a gift of rest. Now, this is a man who owned a merchant bank. And that when things were bad that time, that the Lord said to him simply, nobody that did business with you must go home without his money. So everybody was looking for protection. You know, say his bank went down. Now it's not my fault. He said, no. If you deposited money in my bank, you get your money back. He said, liquidating all the property that he had. He said his children were watching him and said, yeah, the man at night, he sleeps like nothing's happening. That he sleeps like nothing is happening. So I'm talking about the fact that when a Christian is checking, how am I doing? He's not. The man went down to almost zero. But his children testified that that period, daddy used to sleep like nothing's happening. Oh, you asking him, daddy, he said, worried about what? I've told God about it. Please, guys, leave me. Let me see what he will do. He said, they need to come up with this amount, huge amount of money. So, okay, what property do you have anyway? Sell that one. Let that one go. Pay everybody back. God said to me, the Lord said to me, no, I must not declare bankruptcy. Nobody who did business with that. I am not doing business for myself. My name, that is God's name, is at stake. So if anybody deposited money in his bank, he said, I will do what I have to do. He must get every kobo back. Why? I bear the name of God. So what I'm talking about, checking your life. That's what I'm talking about. That how restful am I than I used to be? If you're increasing your dose of antihypertensives, that's when you need to fast. It is not to say, but devil, in the name of Jesus, you will not make my blood pressure go up. Devil said, why are you calling my name? When did I touch your blood vessels? Do I wake you up in the morning? It's not your phone that wakes you up. Now, may they set your alarm? How many times has your wife called you and said, hey, husband, come to bed now, come and sleep now? He said, I'm coming till 4 a.m. Was I there? So don't call me again. No. If you call my name again, I'll go and report it to your father. That's what we're talking about, fasting. That's where Christians think they fast. A lot of times, that's how we think. We fast so as to persuade God to do it. God said, if I don't want to do it, you can't persuade me. No, let me tell you the truth. If God does not want to do something, no human being has the capacity to persuade him. Prayer only allows us to get ourselves out of the way, to allow God do what he wants to do. Prayer also allows us, with prayer, we also say to God, this that you want to do, we are willing for you to do it in our lives. This that you said in your word that you will do, do it in our environment. This that you have promised to do. But if God does not want to do something, you cannot make him do it. If you make him do it, you will not be blessed in the process. Those in the scriptures, they said, God, we must eat meat, we must eat meat. God said, eat this manna. He said, no, we want meat, eat this manna. We want cucumbers, eat this manna. They said, no, we want food like in Egypt. Food came like in Egypt, but it was laden with all kinds of problems. So fasting is not the time you want to say, God, you will do it. If you don't do this, one small girl once, when I was a house officer, the church was doing fasting and praying. Let us pray the name of the Lord. Ooh, boom, the girl fell down. So they carried her, rush. What happened? They said she had not eaten since morning. Pastor's wife, nurse. So she said, okay, get a bottle of Fanta for me. So they went and got the bottle of Fanta. Probably for the girl. The girl said, no, I promise God I will finish this fast. The woman looked at her and said, if I slap you. The girl had already collapsed though. So let's forget that thing. Listen, why do Christians fast? It's not the hunger that is the issue with Christians. It is the time you take aside with a Bible, with a book, with meditation in your heart. The Lord, listen, I married 6 years ago, first, second year. My wife and I were always very happy. But now, church has settled us 3 times. Parents have settled us 6 times. Friends have settled us 9 times. All in the last 4 years. Every day, hospital, somebody is sick. Somebody, when did this one start? Oh, don't forget, you have been rebuking the devil for like 8 months. And the devil has said, I've warned you, stop calling my name. If you call me too much, I will come. So, and things are still rough like this. You ask the Lord, say, okay, Lord, what is going on? And this is the truth. First day, he won't say anything. Yeah, because he wants you to know that you are not in charge. He's in charge. You don't tell him when to talk. If you want him to talk, you are going to be quiet and you're going to be patient. Some people take leave. It makes me laugh. People, sometimes they take leave. The work they do during leave. Is worse than the one that they get paid for. Some even deceive, they say it's holiday. That's what I don't understand. How can you call holiday the time where you don't have time to sleep? You're jumping from one airport to the other, meeting up one flight and the other. Gudu, 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 gudu. Finally, after 4 weeks of holiday, you come back home. You're tired. And work is starting on Monday. Next year, don't do it. It's just personal advice. What I'm going to say is that, listen, you need to take leave sometimes and tell everybody, I'm going on leave. What are you doing? Where are you going? Don't worry. You know why you're saying don't worry? You don't want them to call you. You may be at home or you just go somewhere quiet. And this time around, you listen to the word of God morning, afternoon, and evening. You read your Bible morning, afternoon, and evening. Now, many Christians will wonder why I'm about to say this, but this is the truth. God doesn't care whether you eat or you don't at that time. Do you hear what I said? He doesn't care. He doesn't care. You are in retreat, so you cannot feast. You know, there's a difference between eating and feasting. Feasting is 3-course meal, wine. You look at the bottle, which one is this? That's what they call feasting. But eating is just for survival. You want to pray, you want to study. Your stomach is paining you. They say, I'm fasting. No, you are not fasting. You are suffering. There's a difference. So really, God doesn't care at such times. What he cares about is that you have taken time out now to have yourself corrected. That is when, sometimes without even reading a Bible or listening to a message, just by settling down in the morning to say, Father, I give you thanks because you have been good. You suddenly start remembering that, 2 years ago, this is what your wife and I used to do. Your problem began when you started walking from this time to this time. She's not a bad woman. You're not a bad man. But you don't have spiritual strength to make yourselves happy anymore. When did the two of you sit down, read the book, and analyze what the author is saying? When did you listen to a message together? You think, I'm sorry to say, like I said, I've been married for a few years too. Next month will be my 17th anniversary. All right? And I can assure you, there is no method to be happy in marriage. I've not seen the method. There's no method. I have realized that joy and gladness in marriage is a spiritual thing that comes out of your soul. If the word of God is entering you, joy is a fruit of the spirit. It comes out. Let me say this. If an American writes a book on marriage and he puts Dr. So-and-so, PhD, I'm sorry to say, don't read it. If he's not a preacher, don't even touch it. Don't buy it. I don't care how good the methods are. They're not methods of Christ. Why do I use the word American? Because they have a very funny societal, you know, value system that they are trying to adapt. I mean, a man who says you must never flog your children is writing a book on raising up children and you are reading it. You have a problem, not him. What about flogging? Because the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and the rod of correction will drive it far away from him. And somebody says to you that they have found out scientifically that you're not supposed to do that. And you're reading the book of a man who says that the word of God doesn't know what he's saying. You buy a book and they want to explain to you that you know, a woman can be all she wants to be. You negotiate, you placate, you discuss things. The Bible says, love your wife. It says to the wife, submit to your husband. Those are the two rules. Every other book you write must be on how to execute the two. You want to be happy in marriage? You love your wife as Christ loved the church, not as Hollywood husbands love their wives. No, you know, God had to qualify it for us. Otherwise, people would have been loving their wives the way their villagers love their wives. God said, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her, that he might purify us, wash out with the washing of water by the word. Which means, it is her purity that is primary in his heart, not her worldly joy. Your wife comes back from church competing with the other women in church and you say, love your wife, and then you indulge everything she's saying. That's not loving your wife, that's hating your wife. It's very important. He also said clearly in scripture also that wives, be submissive to your own husband. If we're writing any book, the book must be, okay, how? Because there's a how. How do I love my wife? If I read any book, how do I submit to my husband? I don't want to teach you marriage now, okay? But many of the things people would preach, what they call submission is not submission, it's obedience. And that is why it's hard for many women. There's a world of difference between obedience and submission. You can obey somebody you don't respect. You can obey somebody you want to die tomorrow. Say, this man, fall down and die. And you're obeying him. Many of you work in places where when they say, pray against enemies of progress in your life, it's your guy you are thinking about. You will declare, all my enemies, fall down and die. Fall down and die. Yes, when you go to work, you're obeying the man. But somebody you are submissive to, forget. There's usually a deep respect and love for the person from your heart. So, when you're reading books like that, you are looking for how these two things. If the two things are not being expounded, drop the book. It will not give you a godly marriage. So, I'm talking about fasting now. So, these are the things that Christians fast about. They don't fast to persuade God. Say, God, this contract, I must get it. So what am I going to do? My family will have declared fast tomorrow. On contract. That you bidded for. You are fasting. Are you okay? I got a revelation the other day when my wife and I were talking. I said, any calamity you can't sleep through, you can't speak to. Before Jesus spoke to the storm, he was asleep in the midst of the storm. Many of us are panicking. They are coming. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Storm say, I'm going to get you. But Jesus, for Jesus to be able to speak to the storm, he was able to sleep in it. The storm was not powerful enough to keep him awake. What am I going to say? Many of these things, we're looking for a contract here, looking for a business here, and you will not sleep. You're not likely to get it. Because God is a bit concerned. This business, how much is it? 500,000. And I know they sleep. I know the one believing for 5 billion business. If I can't get it to sleep on a 500,000 business, Michael Jackson's doctor will need to come to your house when you start doing 5 billion business, injecting you with the propofol to make you sleep. And you might not die like Michael Jackson in the process. So God is keeping many Christians on the same level, even though they are praying very hard. Why? They are not praying about the right things. That's what I'm talking about. They are not fasting about the right things. They are not sitting down to check. I'm talking about the fast of believers. It's God. Wait, oh, last year, thank you very much. We did business. This amount of turnover, this is our profit. Did we do well? We did do well. It's not, did we make a lot of money? It is, how did our clients feel? When we said we would deliver by Tuesday, did we deliver on Tuesday? Because God takes his word very seriously and expects his children to take their words very seriously. Did I arrange a contract with somebody and say the total contract sum is 15 million? Then I started executing. I called him and said, no, prices have changed the market. I went to the market. Sorry, I'm sorry. We can't do for anything less than 18 now. God says, you're a dishonest man. Once a contract is signed, you are bound by it, even if you lose money in the process. He said, the one that enters into the mountain of God swears to his heart and does not change. That's the word of God. Many of us have reasons for changing. You sign a contract, and that man say, Oga, I went to the market. I saw the price of doors. I can't take that money again. It's too bad. You've already signed the contract. It's a lesson for you in life. Next time, check your prices before you quote. Many of us don't know what God calls godliness. Godliness can be painful. That's why I say he swears to his heart. The thing is hurting him, but he said, but I have sworn. So we look over the years and say, God, did we do well? Okay, this particular man that said he's not doing business with us again. Why? Is it because we cheated him or treated him unfairly or because he's just a bad person himself? These are the appraisals you do. Oh, you're a boss. How have I been treating my staff? Have I been telling them stories when they're supposed to collect their wages? Yet when things fall in heavily, they don't get appropriate bonuses because their salary is complete. Anybody you don't give extra bonus when things are doing well, you must never owe him when things are doing bad. It's true. There are little things. These are the things we fast about as believers. And we say, God, this is how it has been. And believe me, if you will do that, you take the appropriate books and read. I always recommend this book for Christian businessmen. Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. Those are the things you do with fasting, though. You don't chase the devil with fasting. If you are, look, let me tell you, the time the devil, look, what I want to say is not popular, but it's the truth. The time the devil is strongest in your life is when you are finished fasting. That is when he attacks. He knows when that's when you are weakest. Say, how do you know? Go and ask Jesus Christ. It was after the fast and he was hungry. Satan said, oh, well, time. This is the only time we can get this guy. You know he's a dangerous man. He said, try it now. He's hungry. Turn these stones to bread. Jesus had to use all the spiritual resources to resist him. If Jesus was not hungry, he wouldn't have said, turn these stones to bread. He would look for something else. People think that, look, once I finish fasting, the devil will leave me alone. You're joking. When your master finished fasting, that was when he came. I hope you're getting what I'm saying here. Let's know what is right, the proper procedure, the things to do. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, I know where I went into all of this. I started by saying, explain the fact that when we come to God, we come only in the power of the name of Jesus. I was saying that we must take time out to study what that Christ word means. I was emphasizing that we must study to understand what God has done for us in Christ. We must. Christ is not just the person Jesus. The person Jesus is the beginning of the Christ realm. It is through him, he is the sacrifice. He now takes us into a place on the right hand of the Father. Everything you experience is called Christ. So when I want to judge my life, I judge it in that regard. When I want to do things, I understand I'm a Christ person. This is my best illustration there. This is my best illustration in that area. I'm single, I want to marry. And I say, where is the woman from? There are questions a Christian should not answer other Christians. You can answer your village people, other Christians. Where is she from? Say, what does it matter?